1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. I want to read these three verses. Peter says to us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," referring, of course, back to the Jewish law that required them to bring a price every year for redemption. "But we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We want to preach tonight on the blood of Christ. And of course, there's many of our songs that make reference to this. And we just want to point out some of the passages that bear this out, how much we are dependent upon the blood of Christ. It's an absolute essential in our salvation. There's no other way we can be saved. And Peter, I believe, is emphasizing that. You know that you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. It's called precious, and we want to emphasize that to you tonight. Also, we also want to look at a passage in Hebrews. I didn't write this down, but I believe it's in chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20, and start reading there. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The blood of Christ, how dependent we are upon it as God's children, the blood that he shed that he might redeem us. A lamb without blemish and without spot. The Bible emphasizes that. Time and time again, we find this passage in one of the writers, or maybe in all the writers, if you look closely enough. Peter says he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's called the blood of the everlasting covenant in this particular passage. The blood of the everlasting covenant. That's how vital it is to those who are saved today that know the Lord Jesus. So, as you look through the Bible and you keep these references in mind, concerning his blood. This blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because it's the only thing God will accept. God doesn't want money. He doesn't want the redemption price of the Jewish people, which they were required to bring every year. Silver and gold will not redeem us, but the precious blood of Christ does redeem us. And it brings us into this covenant of grace that he speaks of here in chapter number 13 of Hebrews. The blood of the everlasting covenant, the everlasting testament, that testament that God has given. That when I see the blood back in the days of Moses, I'll pass over you. That hasn't changed. Now, that was the blood of the lamb that they sprinkled on the doorpost, but this is the everlasting covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. So how important is it for us to know these things? It's vital as children of God that we be able to find these things in the scriptures. Because, beloved, these are the things that give us peace. When Satan is able to catch us in a snare, which he does, he catches us unawares at times. But how are we going to escape the guilt, the condemnation, the fear that comes because we have come short? Well, it's through the blood of Christ. And that covenant that God made with us, when I see the blood, our songbook, we sing this, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." same message and we sang a couple of Sundays ago. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. And we're so thankful for that. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that removes the guilt of the believer. When we come short, as Randy read this morning in his devotion, we come short of the glory of God. And that blood of that everlasting covenant, it so thoroughly removes the guilt. And Alma sang in the song, as far as the east is from the west, they can't be found. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means so much to us. It brings us peace and it removes that guilt. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number, we're pretty close to that. 1 John chapter number 1 and in verse number 7. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. God didn't save us because we were going to be good. He didn't save us because we were going to be perfect. He saved us in spite of our imperfections. And he saved us and gave us this assurance that if we confess our sins, it goes on to say in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant, because of the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace, and our guilt can be removed, and our fellowship with one another and our fellowship with the Lord can be restored. So the blood of Christ secures eternal life when we believe on him. Jesus taught in John chapter 6, I'm not going to turn and read this, but whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life. We know that's not talking about literally eating his flesh. That's cannibalism. But it's talking about spiritually understanding our hope is in the Lord. Another song in our hymn book, our hope is in the Lord. It's not in ourselves. Our hope is in the blood of Christ, that what he's done, God is able to forgive us and remove that guilt and take away that fear that comes when we come short of his glory. It is the blood of Christ that brings us near to God. We were separated, beloved. One sin is enough to separate you from God. And when any young person comes to that time in their life where they know they've sinned and they're conscious and aware that they've sinned against God, they are separated from God. They're under the condemnation of the law of God. They've come short. And that happens in young people's lives. They come to that age and they begin to have this understanding, this fear, this guilt that I've come short of the glory of God. And they begin to seek something. As we preached this morning, that woman, through the preaching and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his meekness and gentleness, he led her little by little to the recognition of who he was. And when she understood that, she went away to the city with joy. She left her water pot. She knew she had found the Messiah. She had found the Redeemer. So the blood of Christ brings those near to God who once were hopelessly lost and cut off from the mercy of God. May God help us to understand that, beloved, and not forget where we were when God found us. We were away from God. I want you to read in Romans chapter number 5, this passage that's always been important to me, in the 5th chapter of Romans, if you turn there and read this with me, because this is where God found us when this blood of Christ became precious to us. Romans 5, in verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength. I'll tell you, when you come to the recognition, you know that you've sinned against a holy God, and you know that God's holding that against you, because he must. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the godly. He didn't die for those that would be good. He died for those who were not good. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's us. And when we realize that, we were without strength. But Christ died for the ungodly in due time, in God's time. You read the book of Galatians, and it tells you about that. In the process of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. And so it's the blood of Christ that draws us near. We were separated. We were hopelessly lost. And yet God in His grace brought us near. Also, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, a very familiar passage to those of us who've been saved. And you who hath He quickened who are dead. That's the way the Bible describes it, dead in trespasses and sin. You know what a dead man can do? He can't do anything. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't speak. He's dead. Spiritually speaking, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but we were quickened. He gave us life. How did He do that? Well, the Bible goes on to say in verse 4, but God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. He gave us the understanding that our sins were under the blood. God no longer holds those things against us. We're justified. And that's another glorious thing about the blood of Christ. It brings us near. And therefore, as Hebrews tells us in the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, and beloved, this is the only reason you can have that boldness. You can't have boldness because you've suddenly got better than everybody else. You can't have boldness because you're not like other people. Remember the old hypocrite in the temple? The old Pharisee who said, I thank Thee, God, I'm not like other men. Well, the problem is he is like other men. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way we can enter into the holiness. We can't do it by our own goodness. We can't do it by the fact we've done better than others. We can only enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Because of us? Because we go to church every time the doors open? Because we do everything we're supposed to do? No, we don't. But beloved, because of the blood of Christ, and our faith is not in ourselves, it's in Christ, His finished work, the blood that He shed, that God can look upon. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The song we sing sometimes in our quartet, we've sung for years. When I see the blood, He doesn't see our sin. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're covered and our sins are gone. So the blood of Jesus Christ can bring near those who were separated and cut off from the goodness and grace of God. But let's look further in the Scriptures. Another thing we see here. The blood of Christ justifies everyone who trusts in Him. Now, justifies is a big word, and yet it's not all that big. It's a very simple and significant word to many people. But, beloved, I've always loved the simple way of defining the word justified. Just if I'd never sinned. Justified. To be justified means that God now looks upon you, and when He sees you, He sees the blood. And when He sees you, He says, not guilty. Why? Because His Son became guilty for you, and therefore His blood protects us from the righteous judgment of God. We were in Romans 5, and I meant to read this verse, and I didn't, so I'll turn and read it to you. In the 9th verse of Romans 5, where He says this, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. By his blood, not by our good works. Not like the Pharisee who claimed that I fast twice in the week, I give tithes at all that I possess. No, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We'll be saved from wrath through him that loved us and died for us. For if when we were enemies, look at this. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What a wonderful passage. We've been justified. Now we're safe. Nothing can reach us as far as the judgment of God. Even the old accuser, though he accuses us, and sometimes rightly, that accusation will not stick because God has received us through the blood of his son. The only true basis of peace for any person, any human being, the only true basis of peace with God has to be the blood of Christ. We can read that in Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. This is found throughout the New Testament. The writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of Peter we've just read. But in Colossians 1, we read some of this in our Sunday school class this morning concerning Jesus Christ as the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on to say in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. By him, by the blood of the cross. Look across the page in verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. By the blood of the cross, we've been reconciled, and now we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. Faith in what? Faith in ourselves? Faith in our goodness? Faith in our ability to hold out faithfulness? No. Faith in the justifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his blood being shed for our sins. But notice verse 21 in Colossians chapter 1, and you. This only applies if you personally have accepted this and have understood your own lost condition, and you that were sometime alienated. We've already spoke of that. Cut off. One sin will cut you off from the presence of a holy God. One small, insignificant to you, very significant to God, one small sin will sever your relationship with the holy God. That's why I believe children are safe until they come to the time where they actually understand they've sinned. Now they're lost. Now they're condemned. Now they're under the judgment of God. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies. Enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. He's brought us near. And he can receive us. Because of his son's blood. Because of his death. Because he died for our sins. So the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Father looks upon him. We preached a few weeks ago about our high priest. He's there making intercession for us. What does he plea? What is his plea for us? Is it our ignorance? Is it our weakness? Does he plea they didn't mean to do it? How does he plea for us at the right hand of the Father? I'll tell you what he pleas. They're under the blood. I paid for those sins. And he makes intercession for us. with his own blood. So the blood of Christ is the only true basis of peace. And we live in a world, beloved, where religion is, it's everywhere. Man is by nature a religious being. But as Paul said about his own brethren, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. God's righteousness is perfection. It demands perfection. That's why our sins have got to be under the blood. He will not accept us. Even after we walk the aisle of a church and we publicly, openly confess faith in Christ, he's not going to pardon us because we've suddenly become better than we were. No, he accepts us in the beloved. That's why the message of the gospel is so simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Believe on the Son. There's the peace that God can give you. The Bible also teaches us in Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. In comparison to the Old Testament worship of the Jews, the tabernacle and all the sacrifices and offerings that they made, notice in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, if people can just understand this, if they can get themselves out of the way enough to understand, God will not accept you in yourself. He will only accept you in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. As making a contrast here, if during the days of Moses and the law and the priesthood, if God would for 1 year, only 1 year, if God would roll over their sins for 1 year, they waited outside while the priest went in and sprinkled the blood. They waited attentively to see if he came out. If he came out, God had forgiven them for 1 year. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What is it that enables us to serve God acceptably? The blood of Christ. That's where our peace is. That's why we know God is accepting us. That's why we know he can accept us. The blood of Christ covers our sin, and God is just and he's faithful to forgive us our sins and to remove those things, Father, that in our life that may be hindering us and hindering our conscience. But because of the blood of Christ, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What keeps us going? Many of our hymns make reference to this. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. We understand that message. We've grasped that in our relationship to God. It's the blood of Christ that is an absolute necessity in making us to be overcomers. You know the great promises that are made to God's people in the book of Revelation? What is the one thing he says to all seven churches? Either he that overcometh or him that overcometh. Now look in Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. How are we going to overcome? Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Verse number 10 says, I heard a great or loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Satan is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome. That's where the victory is. By the word of their testimony. They love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell on them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's coming, beloved. You think things are bad now? You haven't seen anything the way it's going to get. When Satan is cast down to this earth, no longer has access to heaven to accuse God's people. But how are we going to overcome? Where's the victory? There's power in the blood. That's what the song says. Let me say, last of all, to reject the blood of Christ as your only hope, to refuse to accept the message of the gospel, increases your guilt and deepens the doom of you as a human being, to reject the blood of Christ. Now, there are people that mock Christianity. They make fun of the teaching of the blood. They mock the teaching of bloody religion, they call it. Beloved, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10, we got a lot out of Hebrews because Hebrews sheds a lot of light on the Old Testament worship through the priesthood and so on. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Remember what the law required? You couldn't bring an accusation against a man except you had two or three witnesses. The law required that because it knows how prone man is to falsely accuse. That's why one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false record, thou shalt not bear false witness. But notice, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment? How much worse is it going to be? Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? They kicked at the only hope they had. They trod the Lord Jesus Christ under their feet. Don't have time for him. Don't want that interrupting my life. I've got other things I want to do. Trodden underfoot, the Son of God hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We preached the other day, last Sunday, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Beloved, it grieves the Spirit of God when people reject the message of the cross, when they reject the message of the blood of Christ, when they refuse to submit. The next verse says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. This is not easy to think about, particularly when you're preaching to people that you love. You're preaching to people that you've been praying for. And yet the Bible says, we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. But he's already told us of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? No time. Too busy. Don't want you interrupting my life. I got things I want to do. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for the gospel. I don't have time to be religious. And they go on in their unbelief. And verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. from what you know about the Bible, from what you know about Mount Sinai, what you know about Sodom and Gomorrah, what you know about the flood, what you know about the judgment of God against the nation of Israel, what you know about the judgment of God against old Herod when he got proud of himself and he was eaten of worms. God is a just God, but my friend, he's a God to be feared. He's not a God to trample underfoot. The Bible tells us the blood of Christ is so important in the life of those who are saved. And there's so much more we could show you from the Bible concerning the blood of Christ, but for lack of time, we've chosen these things. No misunderstanding this. God puts great emphasis on the blood of his Son. If God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him not just to become a babe in a manger, to grow up among sinners, to live without sin, gave him to be reviled and rejected and spit upon and mocked and made fun of, and permitted his own Son to suffer the vengeance of a Roman government because of the pleadings and the ignorance of the Jewish people. God takes it serious. If you despise the blood of the everlasting covenant, if you hear the message and refuse to be affected by it, you turn your ears away from it, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'm preaching that to people I love. But it's the truth. God said it. That makes it so. We believe it. And we tremble. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's our message. Tim, you come. Lead us.